Welcome to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry, a program dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, advocating Christian families to adopt and get involved with foster care here in the Capital District, as well as globally, and encouraging and supporting those who've heard and heeded the call of James 1:27.
In John 10:10, Jesus said, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Welcome to Orphans No More. I'm your host, Sandra Flack of Justice for Orphans Ministry. As we look forward to Sanctity of Life Sunday in just a couple of weeks, I'm so honored to have as our guest today, Father Scott Vanderveer. Father Scott is a priest with the Diocese of Albany here in New York and the current pastor at both St. Patrick's Church in Ravenna and St. Mary's in Coxsackie. Father Scott is also an adult adoptee. Welcome to the show, Father Scott.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's an honor to have you here. Would you share with us your adoption story, start from the very beginning?
So to start at the beginning, I guess I need to start telling stories that were told to me, since I remember what it was like to maybe be a toddler and start to understand what it was like to be an adopted child. But here's the story as I understand it. My natural mother, who is a woman I have never met, was 14 years old when she conceived me. I don't know much of the circumstance of the conception, although I would imagine it was August of her summer from going from 8th grade to 9th grade.
Wow.
It's not hard to imagine how this can happen, mm-hmm. Certainly. It's been going on since the beginning of time. What makes her story remarkable is that although it was 1974 when she conceived, 1975 when I was born, she had the option legally of mm-hmm. terminating the pregnancy, but chose not to take it, which I would love to ask her about someday.
Mm.
That was a really brave decision,
yeah.
Especially because in 1975, I can only imagine the stigma that she faced as a pregnant teenager.
Yeah.
It was not lost on me that she was 15 when I was born, a very prominent age for holy women giving birth in scripture. So, and I was adopted 3 days later.
Wow.
So I was never experienced in any way any kind of weirdness about my adoption because I came home in the 70s. The third day might be the day you'd come home from the hospital with your baby. That was very natural. So I'll pause there to then give a little bit of the backstory from my parents' side. Mm-hmm. So whenever I say parents, I'll always be talking about my parents, my adoptive parents, because they're my parents. I'll say biological or natural mom for the woman who gave me life. But the truth is I only have one mom and dad in my heart and mind. So my parents were unable to conceive, married 7 years before I was born. Each of them had fertility issues at different times, which made it impossible for them to conceive. That was a great source of grief for them.
Mm.
They felt called to be parents. They always felt that was part of their vocation. There was never a question about it. And so they just needed a way for God to make it happen. They, after many years of trying, approached Catholic Charities, which is a major adoption agency in most areas. And I grew up in Rochester, New York. So this was Catholic Charities of that area, of the Diocese of Rochester. And they were told in 1974, 75, as they were applying, that there was a long waiting list and that there was a large number of children who needed to be adopted that were not infants. Many older children needed to be adopted. Many children who were not of their same race and ethnicity were looking for adoption, and they were asked if they were open to that. And they said, absolutely, we're open to that. That wasn't what we thought God was calling us to, but yes. So they put their name on the waiting list and expected to have an older child arrive in their home many years down the line.
Mm.
So my mother tells me she was very surprised to get a call from the social worker at Catholic Charities one day out of the blue saying, "We may have a child for you."
Wow.
The biological mother is currently giving birth and it is not going well. She was 15. And so the basic way I understand it is she was underdeveloped. And my head continues to this day to be very large. And I was a very large infant. At least my cranial size was really large. And there was a struggle for me in the birth canal.
Mm.
It was the 70s. They had the technology that they had to work with at the time. And because she had not yet given birth, but was in the middle of 2 days of labor, they told my mother that there was a good chance that I may have some developmental disabilities because they weren't able to guarantee that the trauma of the birth hadn't affected me in some way. And so they asked my mother, talk about a faith question. Are you willing to say yes to taking this baby? Sight unseen, circumstance unknown. And my mother says that her response from her heart was, absolutely, that's our son, she said. Wow. That's our son. Without saying a word to my dad. My dad was in the backyard.
Without knowing that you were a boy.
Well.
Maybe they knew that.
As I say that, I guess maybe the social worker said this is a male baby.
Okay.
Perhaps
okay.
that was true. But that's our son,
wow.
my mom said. So that was her response. And I was born without any developmental disabilities.
Wow.
And a couple days later, there they were at the Catholic Charities office in downtown Rochester. And I was handed over
wow.
to them, and they brought me home. And it was, of course, typical upstate New York. It was late April, but there was a snowstorm, of course. Especially in Rochester. So anyway, and then began my journey as an adopted child. I never knew anything different. I have a younger brother who is also adopted. We are not biologically related. And his story is very much like mine. His birth mother was also 15 years old.
Wow.
So, and we feel just like brothers. I don't know what it's like to compare with having a biological brother, but I can't imagine it's any different.
Yeah.
We love each other and fight and are different and are
typical
similar.
Typical siblings.
Typical. Typical. Yeah. So now I'm 41 and he's 40.
Oh, okay. Wow. So growing up, knowing you were adopted, how did you feel about that?
I need to give my parents a lot of credit because they found really creative ways for adoption to be a gift and a blessing in my heart and mind and not a burden.
Mm.
And I think one of the ways they did that was by talking about adoption before I was able to understand what the words even meant.
Mm.
And I think bath times and bedtime and really tender times were one of the times they really emphasized that. So one of the things I remember my mom saying is, you grew in your birth mommy's tummy, but mm-hmm. you grew in my heart.
Yes.
You know, which was just a very, for a child, that wasn't a hard concept to understand.
Yeah.
It's probably harder for an adult to understand
yeah.
that. For a child, oh, great. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I grew in your heart. I grew in her tummy. What my parents also deserve a lot of credit for, and I'm not sure what this resource is, and now that I'm ministering as a priest, I really should get my hands on it because it's brilliant. They had some Christian resources that were amazing, including a children's book that drew parallels between the adopted child's experience and Jesus' experience, being a child whose father was in heaven and had an adoptive father
yeah,
here on earth.
That's right.
So, which, of course, is the most logical thing in the world. It's, of course, that's exactly what our faith tells us.
Yeah.
But I don't hear that message being proclaimed very
right.
much. So when my parents introduced me to that story, and that became one of our bedtime favorites, I don't know the name of it. I wish I did because it's a great resource. But when that became part of our routine, I wound up regularly going deeper into the mystery of, I have some really powerful connections with Jesus.
Yeah.
I'm so blessed that I get to understand Jesus' experience even better than a kid who wasn't adopted.
Yeah.
This is so great. So it gave me a sense of being chosen. It gave me a sense of being special. So I was never jealous of kids who weren't adopted. If anything, it was quite the opposite. I kind of felt sorry for them. I was like, oh, no, you poor things. You're not as much like Jesus as I am.
Wow, that is just incredible perspective. So you always knew you were adopted, you know, right from the beginning.
Yeah.
Do you feel like knowing all along was a good thing? Because back in those days, it was very common to keep it a secret. Like adoption was this secret.
Totally. Yeah. And they could have kept it a secret because we are our ethnicity is at least on the surface level similar enough, you wouldn't know. A lot of people tell me often, you look just like your mother, which is hilarious, right? We share no biology at all. And a lot of people say, my brother looks just like my father.
Wow.
So it's yeah. really interesting. No, they made that choice to tell me before I could understand. And I have not asked my mother if she ever considered anything different than that. Although I bet she wouldn't, because one of the interesting parts of our story was she was a sociology major in college, which just plays interestingly a couple of different ways in the story, because she had an undergraduate degree in sociology. She wasn't an advanced scholar at all, but it cost her to do a lot of thinking about nurture versus nature.
Mm-hmm.
And she left her schooling thinking, oh, it's all nurture. It's all nurture, she thought. I mean, you could take a baby from anywhere and you can raise them with certain values and they will come out the way that you raise them. And she has said now that she's raised two adopted sons who do not share biology, she said, boy, I underestimated nature.
Yeah.
Yeah, boy. And I think, you know, that's so interesting. Yeah. I think in biological families, we see that too. Someone has the temperament of Uncle whoever, and someone else has the temperament of Grandma. And
yeah.
Who knows how that gets chosen? That's all right. A mystery. God chooses that.
Yeah.
But so I am so utterly grateful that my parents chose to do that, because it prevented me from ever having an identity crisis.
Mm.
And the same is true for my brother, who has a bit of a different temperament than I do, but reacted similarly well to being told that way. We never had an identity crisis in our lives growing up. I have talked to some people who, as adopted children, were told maybe at the age of reason, as their parents determined it. You know, like in the Catholic tradition, we treat 7 traditionally as the age of reason. So we have the sacrament of reconciliation, where you can go to confession and confess your sins. We don't ask any child to do that before age 7, because the classical understanding is, before that, right and wrong are just too abstract. You get to know what right and wrong is when you turn around 7. So some parents, I think, over the years have chosen around 7. We'll tell them when they can understand. And from my experience, that would be a terrible mistake.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't imagine that would be good.
No, not at all. Others, unbelievably, have chosen on, you know, maybe for their sweet 16. We'll tell them the truth when they can drive. I don't recommend it at all. For me to have grown up knowing that this was something tender and special and unique and wonderful, it was perfect. I never had a problem with it.
Good, good. So have you tried to find your biological parents?
When people find out that I'm adopted, that is the number one question I get asked. It is the number one question. And I don't blame people for that. And I have a lot to say about that. No, I have not. No, I have not. And I'd like to talk about that a little bit, because for one thing, I don't know if this is other adopted children's experience, but I don't have much of a felt connection with my biological father. I don't know much about his story, but it sounds like once he discovered that his girlfriend, my natural mother, was pregnant, that he ran and hid.
Mm-hmm.
I don't blame him for that. If I were 14 or 15, I probably would do the same thing. But it also means that he's not much part of the story.
Right.
So I don't feel much connection to him. I rarely think about him as a figure in my life. So I find that interesting. My natural mother does figure a little more powerfully in my life, but perhaps a little bit less than I think people who aren't adopted might expect. I think of her on my birthday because I know she's thinking of me.
Mm.
I think of her on Mother's Day, hoping that she's well and happy. I feel grateful for her. I will think of her from time to time, but I have a mother.
Mm.
I have a mother, and she, you know, you can only have one mother,
yeah.
Only one mom. And she has that place of privilege in my life. So my biological mother is someone I feel so grateful to, so pleased with, so proud of, but not someone that I see as my mother. I see her as a great woman who donated my biology to me, you know, through God's plan.
Yeah.
So all that said, because of what I just told you, I have not sought to find her. Now, there have been times I have been very curious about her. And part of that is because of my mother's personality. My mother is a very loving person. And part of that meant that on the day that she was picking me up at the adoption office at Catholic Charities in Rochester. On that day, she tells the story like this. She and my father were brought into the social worker's office and were briefed on me. Now, it was a closed adoption, so they weren't allowed to know names. They weren't allowed to know everything, but they were allowed to know profile information and all the essentials. And they were told as soon as they were done with this briefing, they would have their son handed to them next door right after the briefing. So my mother, she remembers this a bit differently now, but I'm holding her to this. She says, "Oh, honey, I was so excited to meet you. I wasn't listening." I was like, "Ah!" So what, my questions when I was a kid, like, you know, what nationality am I? Which was because they told me before I understood what biology or adoption even could be. Those weren't weird questions. Those were fine questions. Those weren't threatening for my parents or for me because it was on the table that I was adopted. What nationality am I? I know that my name is Dutch, and I know, Mom, that you are Polish, and so that's an important ethnic understanding for me. But like, what's my blood? Mm. And my recollection is different from my mother's. I remember her always saying every time I asked that, "Oh, honey, I was so excited to meet you. I wasn't listening." To which I would sometimes say when I got a little older, like, "Were you listening when they told you about my diseases? Like, were you listening at all?" Maybe a little bit of info would have been nice. But she now remembers it differently. And she says, "You're French and Irish. I always told you that."
Well, as a mom, I can defend your mom and say, I would be just like, "Give me my baby."
Right. Totally, right? Yeah. I understand.
Yeah,
I do.
Yeah.
But I'm not letting her off the hook. Totally. I mean, you know. Who knows what my situation is here? So actually, I don't know. I often ask people, that's kind of fun for me, to ask people, what do I look like? Like if I'm with Italians, they'll say, "Do I look Italian?" And often they'll say yes. "Do I look Greek?" Yeah. "Do I look..." For a lot of my childhood, I had a fantasy that I was Jewish, that I was Hebrew. Wow. I thought that was really cool. Because anecdotally, I was told that my natural mother was from Brighton, which is a section of Rochester that's rather Jewish.
Wow.
And I thought, how cool would it be,
yeah,
especially when I knew that I had this connection to Jesus,
yeah,
being
right,
adopted. If I were Jewish, that'd be even better.
Yeah.
So anyway, it was, I always had that wondering. So my natural mother has always been a figure of curiosity for me. I've been curious about her. I don't know a single person in this world that I look like. You know, there's people, yeah, that vaguely look like me, but that's the only loss I feel as an adopted child is I really enjoy seeing family resemblances. I think that's really cool.
Mm.
And that's something that's not a part of my experience. And it's a small loss. It's not a big deal. It's, you know, variety is the spice of life. But what it does mean is there have been times in my life that I've had a fantasy where I could go somewhere where my biological mother was, maybe where she worked. And let's say she was a salesperson at a department store. I'd love to go and return a tie to her, you know, and not identify what, and just see if any of my quirks are in her.
Yeah.
Does she, you know, hold her mouth the way I do, or does she, you know, get exasperated the same way I, whatever. So, but all that to say, why, deep down, why have I not sought to find her? My understanding of the law is it's my right to find her,
mm-hmm,
and it's not her privilege to find me. She's not allowed to open the file on her end. Only I can. So a lot of times when I tell people that I've chosen not to, they have jumped to assumptions that I would probably make too. And they have said things like, "Well, you probably don't want to upset your parents." And I said, "Well, it's not that I don't care about that, but my parents have assured me that they think that's part of my right, that if I ever decide I want to do that, they wouldn't stand in the way." So that's not the biggest reason. Other people have assumed something that is also very, very common experience, I think, for a lot of adopted children, which is, are you afraid that if you go to find her, you will discover that she never told those in her life that came after that era about you?
Mm.
And so maybe, I mean, my natural mother, I'm 41. She was 15 years old when I was born. She's 56.
Mm.
Now, that is a... I mean, for heaven's sakes, I've got lots of friends that age and older.
Yeah.
So there's not that big of a gap between us. It also means 56 years old, she could have young children still.
Mm.
She could be raising fairly young children in her home. And so imagine the scenario. Yeah. I find her. I go to the Catholic Charities file. I Google her. Maybe I get lucky doing that. Maybe I have to go to something deeper. I find her. I go to the house. I knock on the door and I say, "Hello, biological mother. I am your adult child here to meet you." A lot of people would understand that in that scenario, it wouldn't be unlikely for that woman to say, "Listen," and close the door behind her. "I'm so glad to meet you. And I'm so glad that you're having a happy life. And I really have thought about you a lot. But I need you to go away now because I have family inside and they don't know about you. Or they might know about you, but I don't want to disrupt their lives with this. And so please, please do me a favor and go." And a lot of people, I think, assume that must be why you don't seek her. You would be devastated. You would be abandoned. And I don't know if that's true or not. All I can tell you is I have no access to those feelings. I do not feel that at all. You could sit here and talk with me about that all day, and I would not be able to muster a tear about it. Because the truth is, I would understand why that would happen. That's not a nightmare scenario to me. The nightmare scenario to me is quite the opposite. What if I went to her home to meet her, and the response was, "Oh, my baby bird has come back to the nest. My child, my son." And then there's this level too, especially if she's Catholic, which I don't know if that's true or not, but, "And he's a priest. I'm the son, I'm the mother of a priest."
Yeah.
Oh boy. That to me would be a major problem because I have a mother.
Yeah.
I have a mother. So here's the problem. I wouldn't want to reject this wonderful biological mother that I have who cares about me, who cared enough about me to carry me to term and suffer, I'm sure, lots of judgment and abuse to do it. I don't want to reject her, but I can't let her, even if she wants it, I cannot allow her to have the mother role in my life. She can always have the biological mother role, the donor of my biology. She can't be my mama. You know, I only have one.
That's right. So you are listening to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry. To learn more about adoption, foster care, or orphan ministry, visit our website at justicefororphansny.org. I'm your host, Sandra Flack, and I have the honor of having in the studio with me today Father Scott Vanderveer. Father Scott is a priest with the Diocese of Albany here in New York and the current pastor at both St. Patrick's Church in Ravenna and St. Mary's Church in Cooksville. Father Scott is also an adult adoptee. And Father Scott, your adoption has been a positive experience, and you see adoption as the solution in so many ways. Can you expound upon that?
Absolutely. You know, there's some things in life that are a win-win, you know, where you come to this solution and everyone's happy. I think adoption is a win-win-win. I think it's even better than that because there's not a single person who loses out. The child is big winner. Big winner. I mean, I hit the jackpot. I wound up getting to be raised by parents who desperately wanted a child. They raised me with faith. They loved me through the ups and downs. You know, I'm a winner. My parents are winners. They desperately wanted to be parents. And I say wanted. The truth is they're people of faith. They felt called to. And, you know, to not be able to follow a call is especially painful. So they're winners. They're so happy. There's such a rightness to this. And I really believe the biological parents are winners too. We all know about the tragedy of terminating a pregnancy.
Yeah.
It is a tragedy. I think a lot of us think of it as a moral outrage. Maybe it is, but it's a tragedy above all. It's a tragedy above all. I can't imagine what it feels like. And I can't imagine being a young person or an older person who has gone through that. I will tell you that one of my privileges as a priest is to be the confessor for the Sacrament of Reconciliation. I can't tell you the number of people who come to me confessing that they've had an abortion.
Wow.
Long ago. And that it has brought misery into their life. You know, that's so all of that causes me to say, wow, I know my natural mother. As some people have said to me, don't you think that must have been awful for her and so hard to give up a child? I don't know how she did it. And boy, that resonates with me. I'm not a mother, so I don't want to say, sure. You know, I think that would be rather callous of me to say I understand. I don't understand. You as a mother probably would understand better. I can't imagine. But I would say that she had no easy option.
Yeah.
Raising a child at 15, not a great option. And would not probably have been a win for me.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. Choosing to terminate the pregnancy, everyone loses. Everyone loses. My parents would have lost. My biological mother would have lost. And I would have lost. Adoption, win, win, win.
I love that. As we wrap up today, Father Scott, what is on your heart that you really want our listeners to take away from our conversation today?
I would say that in our culture, there is a big divide between those who describe themselves as pro-life and those who describe themselves as pro-choice. Mm. And there is no question which side of that debate that I sit on, both as a person of faith and as an adopted child. Mm. At the same time, I don't understand how we ever got to the place where the choice that we were talking about was whether we were going to terminate the pregnancy. Mm. How did we ever get there?
Yeah.
Where that was, where we're talking about millions and millions and millions of terminated pregnancies when there are millions and millions and millions of couples seeking to raise children.
That's right.
How did we get here?
Yeah.
How did we lose the imagination that we need to, this isn't even that complicated.
Right.
And, you know, I suppose for those people who have really always dreamed of being parents and have never imagined the children not being biologically related to them, the thought of adopting a child requires a change of perspective. It requires a course correction. But that's what faith is all about. That's what life is all about. And I see families going through great efforts to use fertility drugs, which have all sorts of complications involved. And I'm not sitting here to make any judgments on that. I've got friends who've gone that route. But from an ethical standpoint, what do you do? You know, we have these issues with fertilized embryos you know, people having sextuplets and so when we've got all of that effort going into having children biologically, and there are millions of children who are not living to see their beyond their birth, because there's no imagination to how we can make this a win-win-win. Right. How can parents seeking, called to be parents, win? How can people experiencing an unexpected pregnancy win? And how can these babies win? Adoption.
Yeah.
Everyone wins.
That's right. Incredible message as we lead into the next couple of weeks. Sanctity of Life Sunday is right around the corner. So adoption, win-win-win.
Win, win, win.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Father Scott, for being with us today. It's just been an honor to have this conversation with you.
For me as well. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. And if you enjoyed the show today and would like to listen to more episodes of Orphans No More, go to our website, justicefororphansny.org, and click on Radio Show. All of our past shows are right there, easy to find. You can also help us continue our radio ministry by giving a tax-deductible gift to Justice for Orphans. You can do that right from the website as well. And this is Sandra Flack, Executive Director of JFO. I'm setting my 2017 speaking schedule. If you would like to have me speak at your church or event, just contact me by email at sandraflackjfo@gmail.com. Or you can also contact me by our website, justicefororphansny.org.
Thank you for supporting this program by listening today, sharing what you've heard, and praying for orphans and children in need everywhere. More information is available at justicefororphansny.org. Visit and discover how you can make a difference in a child's life. And be sure to tune in to Orphans No More next Friday.